Your financial questions answered by the best local business professionals. Only here on the Money Matters Radio Network. Call in with your questions at 888-205-2263 or send us instant feedback on moneymattersboston.com.
Hey, welcome into the Money Matters Radio Network Afternoon Edition. It is 3:03. I'm June Knight, and I'm joined by Brendan King of Estate Preservation Law Offices out of Worcester, Massachusetts. It is hump day, and it's sunny out, Brendan. Welcome in.
I can't believe it. You actually predicted it last week that I would bring the sun this week.
I did.
You're absolutely right.
I said next time I see you, I have the sun will be shining.
So Nostradamus, tell me what else is going on. Yeah.
No rapture over the weekend.
Right.
Right. So that's always a good thing.
So you got any winning numbers you're thinking about
sevens always look good.
Sevens are good. Yeah.
They look good.
Yep.
Speaking of winning, we've got a four-pack of tickets to the Pawtucket Red Sox down in Pawtucket. And if you've got three friends or family members and you want to go, we'll probably give them away in about a half hour.
We can't sell these things, no. It doesn't work like that.
I think so. Yeah, I don't think. At least if we did, we wouldn't be able to talk about it on the radio.
Oh, I see how that works. Yep.
Kind of a secret.
Yep.
But yeah, we'll give those away in about a half hour or so. Let's open up the studio lines at 888-205-2263 if anybody's got questions. Brendan, what are we talking about today?
Well, we're going to talk today about the impact of divorce on estate planning. So, the big D word.
Yes.
Which in prior shows we've touched on it with respect to other subjects. When we had that one show just on prenups. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we're going to be handing out, which of course is related to this topic, is a prenup primer, which is basically, for those of you who may or yourselves or may know someone who's getting married in the future or planning on getting married, talks about what prenups are.
Bring this to the wedding and give it to them as a gift.
Hey, honey, it's an engagement present. Open it up, and there's a big contract in there with a nice pen,
And a little chocolate bar, a little flour, just to kind of spice it up a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
how to do it, what's required, what they are, what they aren't, as I think there's a lot of mystery to them. So, feel free to call our office at 508-751-5010. Again, 508-751-5010 to ask for the prenup primer. We'll also offer to send you our other mailings. We've had handouts in the past and primers in the past from past shows. Feel free to ask for one of those or our newsletter, which comes out.
And let me ask you too, Brendan, you've obviously been doing the estate planning thing for quite some time. How often do you see, the impact of divorce on estate planning? Is this something common?
Unfortunately, it is, and I think it's just the reality of the times we're in. Either the people themselves have been through it, or maybe clients that weren't are going through it, or on the flip side, maybe their kids are going through it and they have concerns about losing their own assets, when they pass to their kids, what's going to happen, or they're suspect of a marriage of one of their children and really want to know how they can possibly tie that stuff up.
Yeah, I'm thinking too that, maybe if they're middle-aged and their parents or getting up there in years, and they have a trust.
Sure.
And how that affects a divorce, I'm sure you're going to take us through that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's really, when we go through our intake sheet, which I know we've done a show on before, what it's composed of, and maybe we'll do that again just to kind of remind our listeners, but it really does ask about, what's coming down the pike, and what do you plan on leaving, who's got what, how are the kids, how are the kids doing, but not even just for divorce, but also for other topics or issues that they might have. I mean, if you've got a kid in bankruptcy or might be, or a child's a doctor, has concerns about being sued, whatever it is, these are the things that have to be brought up. And again, that's our job as the estate planning attorney, not just to just bang out a few documents upon your request, but actually to customize and design a particular plan that works for you. And that's really in this day and age with all the issues that are going on with families, but also all the – just how complicated the – whether they're the tax laws, the probate laws, whatever they are, you know, to put that piece and fit that with the desires of the client to actually come out with something that's not just, you know, banged out, you know, on a computer software program. Mm-hmm. Something we have to think about. I've had a couple meetings today, and neither of those two meetings were – they're with new clients, but neither of those were like, hey, this is what you got to do. It's gathering information, filling out our intake sheet, whether the client fills it out or if they don't, we fill it out at the table together, and then finding out their desires, me going back and kind of coming up with some different things and then presenting it, mm-hmm. not just, okay, here you are. While you're reading the People magazine in my office, I'm in the back like clickety-clacking away on my computer and then spitting something out. It just doesn't work like that. So it's a little bit more custom.
So do you do prenups as well? Like, can somebody make an appointment with you and say, hey, Brendan, I'm thinking about getting married or I'm getting married. I want to sit down with you. And you just strictly do a prenup?
It's part of our asset protection practice,
okay.
You know, that we do that because, you know, that's what we're in the business to do is protect people's assets. So certainly prenups are part of it. You know, trusts are part of it. Setting up different business entities are part of what we do. So those are all types of, entities or contracts or what have you that will end up protecting people's stuff. So, yeah, we do get involved with that.
All right, great. So once again, it's Brendan King. He is with Estate Preservation Law Offices. They're out of Worcester, Massachusetts. And why don't you give out? I know you've got other locations.
That's right.
Tell us where else you're at.
So we're also in Braintree and Cambridge and down in Hyannis, which gives us a lot of the eastern and the fun parts of Massachusetts.
Yeah. So are you working down the Cape? down the Cape this weekend, Brendan?
I'm actually dying. I was trying to schedule something down there.
Yeah, I'm sure you
know,
were.
Line it up. And those are always nice, like the Thursday, Friday appointments, you know. Oh, I'm just going to head down there. So, yeah, obviously when you're in business, you try to line up appointments so you're not, like, you know, down in Hyannis for the morning and then bouncing back to Worcester and then back down the rain. So line things up so that, you know, we can just be more time efficient.
Yeah.
Because if we're not time efficient, you know, we also have clients call and say, hey, how are you doing on my stuff? And obviously the more time efficient we can be, the better off and the more service we can provide, because clients do have, the stuff that we do is time sensitive sometimes. I mean, people are, maybe they have one foot on the banana peel and the other one in a nursing home or on a banana peel in the grave or whatever it ends up being. Some of the stuff we do is time sensitive, so we really got to make sure that we utilize our time. So I can see my kids too,
right.
Which
well,
is always
well,
good.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah.
And for all the people listening down at WPLM, AM 1390.
Yeah.
Hyannis is just a hop, skip, and a jump
away. That's right.
So.
That's right. Actually, I met with a client from Plymouth this morning. So we're all over the place, and we're nimble, and we do get in the car. So actually, I was just telling you, I've been on the road for like 2 days.
Yeah, you've been busy.
Haven't touched down in Worcester since Monday.
Okay.
So.
All right. Once again, Pawtucket Red Sox tickets, we'll be giving those away. It's a four-pack in about 20, 25 minutes or so. I'll tell you what number call it. We'll let Brendan pick the number, of course.
Why don't we go with 7? Then we were just talking about how great 7 is. Yeah.
We did.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So this is a show. It's called the Estate Preservation Hour, and it's the impact of divorce on estate planning. So, Brendan, take it away.
Let's take it away. So, basically, you know, one of the things that we'll always, clients will oftentimes bring up to us, and it's amazing sometimes if we don't ask that it doesn't come up. And not that I like to do a taste test, if you will, but I'm always amazed at what clients won't tell you unless you specifically ask them. Getting back to our intake sheet, which is why it's so important to run through that. But oftentimes we'll just get a call from a client and says, hey, you know, I'm getting divorced, and what happens to my will? Now, as we've talked about in shows in the past, people mean a lot of things when they say will. You know, they could mean anything, and anything from, you know, their actual will or their trust or their power of attorney or their healthcare proxy. So what I thought we'd start with is just maybe running through some of those documents and what actually happens. So when an individual does get divorced, the will, and I always find this kind of funny, under current law, the will, basically what ends up happening is the ex-spouse It's almost as if they predecease, which a lot of clients like. Uh-huh. So they are actually, they're removed from the will. So if they were named as an executor or a guardian or a trustee under that trust inside a will, a testamentary trust, or received a share, there it's as if they died. So whoever was behind them steps up into their place as the first taker. Mm-hmm. So after we get a quick chuckle out of that, then they know that it's time for them to come in and redo their stuff. Now, that's just specifically the will. The question then becomes, well, what about other documents that really are oftentimes drafted with the will? Now, we know the will handles probate assets, which are assets that are in your name alone upon your death, okay? But what happens when you're alive? We have, the power of attorney, right? So that we have this agreement, this durable power of attorney that basically says, hey, you know, I'm going to appoint someone as my agent, and if you had appointed your ex-spouse, that's a big problem that we will run into, because that doesn't necessarily cut off at that point. It may say that in the document. Mm-hmm. If you've drafted a document that if I am separated or divorced from my agent, then this agreement will terminate. But a lot of them don't say that, in which case that can survive. And when we get back from this next break coming up, we'll talk about how that can be really dangerous and why we're running into a lot of problems with powers of attorney these days and using them.
Okay, well done, Brendan King of Estate Preservation Law Offices. And 313, we'll be back on your Wednesday of the Estate Preservation Hour on the Money Matters Radio Network.
Debbie Kickham of Maxima Marketing in Westwood, Massachusetts, with your Money Matters Marketing Minute. Today's marketing tip is dare to be different. I was flying on a plane recently when the man sitting next to me woke me up with his awful snoring. It got me thinking about Dr. Jack Kevorkian. In a recent interview, Dr. Kevorkian explained how that when he was in jail, the worst thing was the snoring of the other inmates. Well, what if people in law enforcement used snoring as a marketing tactic and a deterrent to a life of crime? If somebody told me that if I went to jail that I would never get a good night's sleep again, I would stop dead in my tracks and think twice about breaking the law. Add to that the fact that you'll never have a good meal again and probably wind up eating expired food. Well, most criminals would think twice. With a smile on my face, I say this. This just might be the off-the-wall marketing idea the world is waiting for. This is Debbie Kickham from Money Matters Radio.
Total customer care. That's what makes Midas different. It's how we get to know you and your car, explain things in a way you'll understand, and give you service and repair options that respect your budget. From routine maintenance like oil changes, tires, and brakes, to advanced engine diagnostics and major system repair. Come to Midas and see the difference total customer care can make. People and prices you can trust. That's the Midas touch.
And now, another reason to switch to Geico.
Every month, we get lots of letters telling us how much folks like Geico's claim service. And I quote, "The adjuster assigned to my claim was incredible. He walked me through everything." Then there's this one. Geico.com is very useful and lets you track your claims. And this. "I filed a claim at 4:15 on Thursday afternoon, and my car was in the shop at 10 a.m. on Friday." And my personal favorite, "Easy Squeezy Lemon Peasy."
For a free rate quote, visit Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
Keeping an eye on your wallet is what we do best, right here on the Money Matters Radio Network. Send the Money Matters team instant feedback at MoneyMattersBoston.com or call in with your questions at 888-205-2263.
Welcome back into the Money Matters Radio Network, the Estate Preservation Hour. That's what we're in right now at 3:16 on June night. I'm joined by Brendan King of Estate Preservation Law Offices out of Worcester, Massachusetts. We're talking about the impact of divorce on estate planning. This is a big deal. Okay, it is. You know, you hate to throw those divorce stats out there, but
They're up there, and they're a major cause for people to come in and just start asking questions, whether it's a divorce of a child, or it's maybe their own divorce, or it's a past divorce that they were in and just starting to realize that maybe they didn't change something. And that's kind of where we are right now with respect to, before the break, we started talking about this power of attorney.
Right.
And the spouse that is named as the agent in that situation has caused a lot of ruckus in the banking world, where you'll have these ex-spouses walking in with old durable powers of attorney and cleaning out accounts and that sort of thing.
Oh,
so
boy.
And of course, people will then look to the bank and say, hey, shouldn't you have known? And it's really not their fault. I mean, it's one of those things where we talked about this in prior shows, in the world of this agency, that's created, they're revoked upon being revoked, meaning that they can be revoked depending on what the agreement says, if it's by divorce or if it's by executing a new power of attorney. But if it doesn't say any of that stuff, that can continue. So the danger is having these things and copies of these items out there and not knowing if a spouse or an ex-spouse has it. So one of the first things we'll do is with respect to a power of attorney, when a client will come in and has expressed concern, or even if they don't express concern, I've expressed concern, and what we'll do is we'll notify the ex-spouse that this power of attorney is revoked. Mm-hmm. And we will certify, mail them, so we have proof of receipt, that sort of thing, because it's very important to put your agent on notice, because then you've really got some sort of proof that they knew that it was revoked, and if they are going to use it at that point, it's criminal at that point, because then you don't have any authority. You're just going in and stealing, if you will.
Right.
I use the word that anyone would use, because it's not my area of law, but it's kind of what it boils down to. And at that point, at least now you have some sort of cause of action against them.
Wow.
So you're really going to be careful. Now, the flip side of that, the reality has become where a lot of institutions will require you to either fill out their own powers of attorney or require one that has been signed within the past 2 years. Because they want to make sure that it exists. Now, there's nothing wrong with an older power of attorney, but we're seeing some pushback from institutions for using a power of attorney that's more than 2 years old. If you do have one that's older than that, we'll oftentimes just give them to our clients. We'll have them reissued every couple of years just out of policy. However, what a lot of banks will do is have the person who's trying to use it sign an affidavit saying that it's still in existence to their knowledge. Because they are trying to protect themselves. Everyone's trying to protect themselves with the document. It's pretty powerful. So that is something that you really want to make sure that is handled. If you've set up a plan before, have a power of attorney, and you've subsequently become divorced, you really want to make sure that situation is handled.
I know it's interesting too, because most people can't find their tax returns or their W-2, but they can find that.
Oh yeah, exactly.
That's always the one that can.
Exactly.
They come out of the back room or some closet or basement, and there it is.
Yeah, and people will say to me, hey, we got divorced, and I can't find that stuff. I'm like, where do you think it is? It's probably the first thing that was packed up in the suitcase on the way out the door. But in all reality, there are things you can do, and again, controlling how many copies are out and where all the copies are is one way of controlling some of the power or damage of these things. But another one is certainly, you can only do what you can do is to make the notification. Now.
Okay. And you know what? Let me just jump in, too.
Sure.
We're about 10 or 15 minutes away from giving away these. It's a 4-pack of tickets to see the Pawtucket Red Sox. You can pick the game. It's a game of your choice.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's kind of like a general admission. On the back of the tickets is the season calendar.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
So you can pick that. We're also giving away today, Brendan is giving away, what's called a prenup primer. We love that name. And it is free. And you just got to call his office to get it. He'll either email it out to you or snail mail it out to you. 508-751-5010. Okay, I'll give it to you again. 508 651-5010. This is probably something people want to have in their files,
sure.
No matter what situation they're in.
I'm thinking that the one time you wouldn't want to have it is laying on the kitchen table when you're still married, because it might be indicative of a future marriage you're planning, and you may not want your spouse to know that.
Other than that,
I would say, it's a very useful tool. Mainly because these things tend to have their own urban legend. You know, what are prenup? This and that. It's really not as scary as you may think. It is something that can be very helpful, and they're very common these days. I think that the reality of what modern day marriage is or has become, or what could be, is really just kind of drives the train for these. In other words, you know, maybe, you know, 10, 15, 20, 25 years ago, you know, I think that's where some of the legend, oh, you can do this, but it's who would, you know, what is love all about? Well, the reality is that what love all about is, and we have a 60% or whatever it is, 55, 50. And I think it's that percentage gets higher in certain circumstances. You know, that is what the reality is. So the reality then becomes, well, prenups are not a bad idea. A lot of the prenups that we'll see or will do are from people who have been down the road before. I mean, the ones or haven't been married and have accumulated a great sum, or they're getting pressure from their parents because their parents know that, hey, I'm going to be leaving you an inheritance, and you have a lot of what we call, quote unquote, family wealth, and we don't want that to break off from the bloodline.
Right. And you know what else? I'm thinking too, Brendan, another myth that's out there when it comes to prenups is, because, you know, as a female, people would say to you, well, if you fell in love, you know, you got married to this guy, whatever, would you sign a prenup? And I think to myself, yes, because the old myth is signing a prenup means you're signing all of your rights and all of your money away.
Right.
When in fact, this might be a protection tool
for me.
I want to see, well, you know what? If we do divorce, what am I getting?
Right, right. You're
and
exactly
if I don't
right.
like it, let's go back to the table,
you're
and this
exactly
will protect
right.
me.
Right.
So I'm kind of in favor of these things.
Yeah, and then you couldn't have said it better. Really, that's really the way to look at it.
But the old school way was that means you're signing away everything.
Exactly.
But that's not the case.
No, it's more like you're signing up for something.
Okay.
You know, it really is. I mean, you're like anything else. You know, this show is all about planning. And if you know what the deal is, you're going to have your own lawyer. Both sides have their own lawyer. So you go back and you say, no, this is what it's going to be. We feel more comfortable with this. It's a meeting of the minds. I mean, this is a contract. This isn't just, hey, you're going to sign this and this is the way it is. You know, you've got some, both sides have some push and pull here. So, it is something that, you know, we felt that needed to be put in a primer, if you will, and wanted to give, because that's what we do. We want to give information out, because once people realize, what some of the topics that we talk about here every week or through our, informational newsletters or whatever, once people realize what the real deal is, they're much more apt to go ahead, the wall has been taken down, and do the right thing. Because if you can do the right thing, it's a lot less costly. It's a lot less, to me, it's just nerve-wracking not to know. You know, how people can walk in and just start doing things or entering contracts or engagements or just move into each other and start buying property without knowing what their legal rights are. Would give me, you know, a coronary. But you know, that's what happens every day, and I guess that's why lawyers have jobs, is because, you know, a lot of the stuff that we do is just cleaning up for people who aren't planning.
Yeah. All right. So once again, the number for the prenup primer is 508-751-5010. Really quickly, what is in the prenup primer? Like an outline?
Yeah, it's basically, you know, a description of what it is, what it isn't, you know, what you really, how do you make a prenup stronger? You know, what are the things that can weaken a prenup? You know, because again, when you're looking at these things, you know, they're going to be looked at possibly at some point by a judge, and they're going to make the determination of, did it follow? Was it fair when it was entered into? You know, where have they gone? What was split up? How are the parties, you know, situated now? Mm-hmm. You know, what was it, a situation where both parties were represented by counsel? So these are the types of things that the prenup primer will just let you know, so that when you do enter, of course, you're going to have competent legal counsel. But again, you'll go in knowing some of the things so that you'll be kind of like a better student from that point on, meaning that you're not going to, they may not have to run through a lot of the preliminaries with you, and you can kind of get closer to where you need to be by the time you sign this thing. So you're not signing something you're not aware of. Again, to your point, you're signing up for something, not, you know, signing away something.
You're protecting yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay. Once again, Brendan King of Estate Preservation Law Offices. And you know what? If you've got a question right now, we've got a toll-free line for you at 888-205-2263. So continue on, Brendan.
So basically, you know, we ended up talking about the durable power of attorney. The other agency that you know, people should be aware of that they're probably signing when they're signing the power of attorney is the healthcare proxy. Now, that by statute, That by the healthcare statute is revoked. So you, whoever was named, if your spouse was named as an agent at that point, they're no longer the agent. Okay, by statute that is cut off. Now, if they were your only healthcare agent, you really, this is again starts getting you thinking. Well, I need one of those now because I named my spouse and now we're divorced. So you know, where do I stand? That is shows you it's a little bit different than the power of attorney. Now, what is interesting is once you leave the agency world and you move to some of the, as opposed to the will, the flip side of the non-probate assets, such as revocable trust, transfer on death, beneficiary designations of life insurance and retirement plans, what's very interesting is that currently the statute that controls the will that makes the surviving spouse predeceased, if you will, or the ex-spouse predeceased, if you will, only dealt with the will. But we have a new law coming down the pike that extends the definition to non-probate transfers as well. Mm-hmm. So now, whereas before, if you had a revocable trust or a beneficiary designation, under current law right now, if you were to die and you did not take your ex-spouse off of those things, they're walking away with the life insurance.
Right.
They're walking away with the TOD and everything else that you had could have changed, but you didn't. And we used to just really, when someone would get divorced, we'd really look at that stuff because we got to, I used to tell people I want to see every policy designation. I want to see who's the beneficiary of this, who's the beneficiary of that, your IRA. Bring it all in, because if you didn't change it, they were going to be the stay the beneficiary.
Wow.
And that has happened. We actually had a case recently where someone wasn't taken off of a joint tenancy in a deed. So when the spouse died, the ex-spouse's estate inherited part of the asset. And this stuff can get really crazy. So again, it's about buttoning things up. And it's not, you know, you talked earlier a little bit about trying to find things. And a lot of times when we sit down with clients will get annoyed at me because I'm like, I need to see this, I need to see this. They're like, I don't know where this stuff is. And I'm like, well, you got to make a good effort. And I'm going to be the guy that is going to make sure that this is all done.
Yeah.
Because you're busy in your day-to-day life. My job is to make sure that that's all, which making the checks and the boxes, and we're tying that stuff up. So we'll get into more about these non-probate transfers when we get back from the break.
Okay, it's the Estate Preservation Hour with Brendan King, and we'll be back on the Money Matters Radio Network.
This is a Bloomberg Businessweek update. I'm Carol Masser. Kids love to pretend they're adults. A new kind of theme park called Kidzania lets children pretend to be nurses, dentists, runway models, radio announcers, window cleaners, and countless other professions. Ellen Pollack is executive editor of Bloomberg Businessweek.
It's the idea of a former private equity guy who realized you could have a theme park where you're teaching kids to practice the profession of their choice. So you pay a certain amount of money, your child goes in, pretends to be a dentist, pretends to be a doctor, and it's a way of supposedly teaching them something and entertaining them.
One-third of revenue comes from corporate sponsors who pay Kidzania to build branded, role-playing establishments scaled for children. One such sponsor is Coca-Cola, which operates several kid-sized bottling plants where youngsters see what it's like to be in charge of the production line. I'm Carol Masser.
Here's another question from the Geico Savings Mailbag.
David from St. Paul writes, "My son's wondering if he'll come to his class so he can get extra credit on his biology test."
Extra credit?
Well, if there are any questions on that test about who can make it easy to save money by combining your RV and car insurance...
Which is an unlikely question for a biology test.
Then the answer is GEICO.
True.
For all other questions about RV insurance, I like to guess answer G. E-I-C-O.
Call GEICO or visit GEICO.com today to see how much our multi-policy discount could save you.
Now at Exxon and Mobil locations, you can save 15 cents per gallon for 60 days when you use your SpeedPass device for fuel purchases at participating locations. Just register your SpeedPass device at SpeedPass.com by June 30th, 2011 to start saving. That's right, save 15 cents per gallon when you use your SpeedPass device. Visit SpeedPass.com today. Excludes business and fleet card accounts. Purchases in Louisiana, New Jersey, and some Florida stores do not qualify. Rebates will be posted to the credit or check card that is linked to SpeedPass. Maximum gallons eligible for rebate is 100 per account. Offer may not be combined with any other SpeedPass offers. Allow a minimum of 90 days to receive rebate.
What's the missing piece to your perfect weekend?
Money Matters Radio with Chuck Nilasek makes the move to TV with Money Matters Weekend. Sundays at 11:30 starting May 1st.
Ah, the perfect weekend. Finally.
That's right. Sundays at 11:30 on Fox 25, join Chuck Nilasek and his cast of experts for Money Matters Weekend. Each Sunday, Chuck will cover all areas of your money. That's Money Matters on TV. Only here on the Money Matters Radio Network.
Mark, someone is staring at me.
What, like making eyes at you?
Yeah, I guess.
Where? Over there?
Oh, behind you. He's sort of small, like a little stack of money, and he has these big eyes, like googly eyes. He's staring at me.
You sound like you're sort of enjoying this.
Well...
That's it. No, I'm looking.
Oh!
What, that? That's the money we could be saving with GEICO.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. To get a free rate quote, go to GEICO.com.
It's the Money Matters Radio Network. Call in toll-free to ask your financial questions at 888-205-2263 or log on to MoneyMattersBoston.com.
How you doing? Welcome back into your Wednesday edition, the Estate Preservation Hour. That is your Wednesday. I'm June Knight, and I'm joined by Brendan King, my co-host, and he is from Estate Preservation Law Office. Offices, excuse me. Today's show, the impact of divorce on estate planning. We've got a prenup primer we're giving away. But, Brendan, we're going to give away these, it's a four-pack of tickets to the Pawtucket Red Sox. So I'm going to let you give them away and give the phone number and give the what number they have to be to call in. How's that?
Okay.
I'm going to let you be the guy.
Okay. So we've got the packet of four. Now, what happens here, June? Walk me through this. We just they're all waiting, and we just pick number seven?
Yes.
Lucky seven?
Yeah, you tell them what caller will win, and then you give out the phone number, and you wait for the phones to light up. Pretty easy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So the phone number that we have to have you call in for is 888-205-2263, and we have a four-pack of tickets here. We're taking caller number seven, and because we feel like lucky number seven is our number of the day, although this is not a seven-pack. This is a four-pack of tickets, so don't call up asking for your seven tickets. It's the seventh caller. Again, that number is 888-205-2263.
And you're going to the Pawtucket Red Sox, okay? Seventh caller, give us a call now. Tim is waiting by the phones, and he'd be more than happy to take that. He'll take those calls for us as we continue.
And the cool thing about it is you can adjust this to your busy calendar. Yeah. I think that's cool. I've never more companies should do that. That's event hosts, I guess, what you would call them, because that's kind of a neat thing. Because sometimes if you call, you don't know when you're going to get. Your schedule might be full, but you can actually pick any date, which is
isn't that cool?
That is cool. I like that idea.
All right, so give us a call again, 888-205-2263. You're going in to see the Pawtucket Red Sox. All right, so let's continue on with our The Impact of Divorce on Estate Planning show.
From family fun to family dissolution.
never know, you know, how these things are going to go down. It could happen at the ballpark. Hand you the prenup.
Right. Instead of a four-pack, you'll have a two-pack.
If that's part of the estate, you're only getting half of it.
That's right. So what we were talking about before the break was the difference that this new law, the Massachusetts Uniform Probate Code, that is going to be going into effect. Again, they've pushed the date back of the effect, but it's been signed, so it's going to be coming in. And I'm thinking it's going to be coming in at the beginning of the new calendar year. The difference is the definition of divorce under prior law, or under law as it is right now, affected just the will. In other words, if you were to pass away, they were extricated from your will, but revocable trust, life insurance, and that sort of thing, as I mentioned, the beneficiaries would still stay. But now to non-probate transfers, to those type of transfers, beneficiaries on life insurance and different accounts, your IRAs, that sort of thing, they will be purged, just like the will. So the definition has been expanded, so there's less of a concern there. But the concern is still there, because now that person's not there, and now who is? And a lot of times, if that is the beneficiary, and the only beneficiary you picked, it might end up going back to your estate, which is not what you want either.
Mm-mm.
So, again, it solves a problem but doesn't make the problem go away entirely, because although your ex-spouse won't get it, which is great, okay,
yeah.
Super, but now who will? So we really need to focus on, and again, make sure that that stuff ties into your plan. So when we sit down with clients in that situation, we'll oftentimes say, okay, well, what we will be saying, because again, this law hasn't even gone into effect, let's change them, let's figure out what we're going to do and reset the clock, let's reset your plan, because again, when you get divorced, some of my best referral sources are divorce attorneys, because mm-hmm. they'll send their clients out and say, hey, listen, you got to get this done, and they're very smart, and they give good advice. They say, hey, you got to get this stuff redone,
mm-hmm.
and so they'll send them over. So with respect to that, we really want to make sure that that stuff is changed. Now, when someone does come in to our office, we talked about getting those who's been through a divorce, we talked about getting those things changed, their life insurance, making sure we get all the new beneficiaries set up. We're talking about their documents, getting new wills and trusts put in place. But one of the things I'll always want to see from them is their divorce decree or the separation decree, because oftentimes there'll be certain obligations that the divorcee, I guess, if you will. I feel silly saying that.
I know.
Divorcee.
No, that's what it is.
Yeah, I guess that's the right term, right?
Mm, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Not that I would know. Legally.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I'm not asking you because you're a pro. But yeah.
Thank God.
I don't know. What that John Edwards, is he free?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah. No, there's a road, you know, that's not to be going down.
No, June. That's
sure.
Not
no. Oh, God, no. Oof.
So,
talk about a red flag.
Yeah, that's a little scary, you know. He could have been, our vice president, right?
Uh-huh.
That's a little tricky.
Yeah, sure.
So, you know, I want to see that divorce decree, because there might be, and I'm particularly looking for life insurance obligations. So if I have a spouse who is paying child support, what you'll typically see in a divorce decree is that if I have, I'm just say the husband in the situation, and he's paying child support, there'll usually be some sort of life insurance obligation on my client, so that if they die, that there'll be this life insurance that comes in and will either go to the ex-spouse or in trust for the ex-spouse and the kids to carry on the child support obligations after they've passed.
Oh, okay.
So I want to make sure that they're following that. They make sure that we're covering that, because if they say, oh, the heck with it, or if I never ask, that surviving spouse can have a claim against my client's estate. Now, the problem with that is that if we've planned it really well, planned their estate, and I didn't ask about that, well, if there was like $500,000 that was supposed to go somewhere else, now it's not going to get there, mm-hmm. because they may have, you're supposed to have a life insurance for $500,000. Never did it, died. Surviving spouse can come in now and just scoop out $500,000. Now, if I had that somehow tied up tight in a good estate plan, that's going to definitely affect what ends up happening and who gets what.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, you know, where is that $500,000 coming? I mean, that might have been in his entire estate. So these are the types of things we need to plan for. And then the question becomes, okay, if we get the insurance, how are we going to hold it? Is it going to be in trust? And making sure we follow that obligation. We also will then go ahead and, of course, retitle the assets and reset, you know, his clock to make sure that nobody is named, you know, as a joint owner. We've get all that stuff out of her name in this situation where I'm representing him. And just to make sure that everything is buttoned up, whether it be the life insurance or any other obligations under that divorce decree. The next question will always come, a lot of times will come up is, well, what happens with financial aid? you know, if I if I'm divorced, and I'm not the primary caregiver, are my assets looked at? So again, this is financial aid is estate planning, and we do get into that. And really, what the rule is, we look at who did the student live with for the past 12 months. And that will be the parents' assets and income that will be counted in the child's expected family contribution. Okay. So if I have the husband and the children are not staying with him necessarily, they'll look to her assets, which might be a good thing. Now, the problem can become is if she gets remarried, then the new stepfather's
assets
income
are,
and assets are counted.
Really?
Yeah. So we've held off a few marriages.
I was just going to say, that's a reason to not get remarried.
Again, you know, it's why it's always important to kind of go through this. And some couples will actually hold off on that until, you know, certain kids are through and to the end because, you know, that can really affect financial aid.
I see.
Because they will absolutely look at that. Now, then you think, well, let's be savvy. Can we, and I'm now looking to her, if she gets remarried, if she has the custody of the child, well, can we prenup around that? You know, so we're doing a big circle here. Now we're going to get back to the prenup. Now, can we prenup so that my new husband's income and assets are not counted in the expected family contribution? Can we say that he has no financial or education, you know, obligations to my children, my biological children, his stepchildren?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the answer is?
I'm thinking no.
Yeah, you got it.
I just have a feeling that's just too good to be true.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah,
yeah.
You definitely got it. Because
okay.
It's clever and creative, but remember, but you can't really contract in effect a third party. In other words, two people can't say, we're going to do this and affect the third party. Third party being the federal government and the financial aid program that they run.
Right.
So we can't say, oh, that's going to happen and then have to have them follow it. The rule is if we get remarried, even if we weren't married in the last year, which is the year we look at with respect to financial aid, if we weren't married back then, we still have to count the income and assets. Assume almost as if we were going off the base year for calculating that stuff. So good idea for prenups, but no go.
No, because the new daddy is buying the pony for the 18th birthday party. All those assets are going to be counted.
You got it.
All right. We'll be back with Brendan King. It's the Estate Preservation Hour on the Money Matters Radio Network.
Hear that? That's the sound of safety and the sound of your family's belongings staying where they belong. In times like these, it's important to know how to protect your home, your family, and your valuables. A good strong lock on a solid door and frame can make a huge difference. Most burglars will spend no longer than a minute trying to break in. That's only as long as this radio announcement. Remember to lock your doors and windows. Even the best locks can't protect you unless you use them. Install bright outdoor lighting. If you have an alarm system, use it, and post signs that say your home has an alarm. Trim bushes and trees so your house is clearly visible to your neighbors and your street. If you ever return home to find that someone has broken in, do not enter. Call the police immediately. To learn more on how to keep your home and family safe, visit ncpc.org. That's ncpc.org. Let's all work together to keep our homes safe and sound. A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
Yellow Book presents Quick, Make a Decision, now. We place today's contestant, Bob, a small business owner, in a leaky boat in a tank with toxic chemicals.
Yeah, I'm sinking.
Bob, what's the best way to find customers for your business? A, hand out pens with your name on it, or B, advertise in Yellow Book.
This thing is really sinking.
Then make a decision now.
Yellow Book!
Right. Yellow Book can help your customers find you online, on their mobile, or in the book. When your business needs help, Yellow Book it. To advertise, call 1-800-YB-YELLOW or visit yellowbook.com today.
It's the Money Matters Radio Network. Call in toll-free to ask your financial questions at 888-205-2263. Or log on to MoneyMattersBoston.com.
Day blood in the streets,
Welcome back into the Money Matters Radio Network. It is the Estate Preservation Hour, and it's Brendan King from Estate Preservation Law Offices. It's the impact of divorce on estate planning today. Brendan offering up a prenup primer. It is a free guide to prenups, and the office number is 508-751-5010, Brendan, if they want to get their hands on this.
That's right. That's right. We're happy, as always, to give out information, whether by voice or by written word. And, so we do have several, different handouts and primers from previous shows. But the one that we're focusing on today is our prenup primer. And as it relates to our topic of the day, which is the impact of divorce on estate planning.
Yes.
In the Estate Preservation Hour.
Right.
Yeah.
And I know, we were talking about this off air, John Edwards facing criminal charges.
Yikes.
Now.
Because it was the use of the money to cover up the.
Wow. He supposedly, the campaign financing, the money going to the mistress.
Right.
Hiding it in the mistress's, I don't even know where, but. Yeah. Unbelievable.
And it's just you kind of wonder where the train left the rails there. And I just think that's one of those things. It's almost I always compare those situations, or what I think those situations are in my own head, to like Fargo-esque. Do you remember Fargo,
yeah,
the movie? And like you try to do one thing and then, you know, you're trying to cover up for that, and it's just like
got out of hand.
Yeah, and all of a sudden you just sit there and say, how did it come to this?
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, and it also brings up because we're talking about divorce today and all that. It also brings up what was that that other section of divorce that we were talking about was multiple families and multiple marriages and things like that. Because he had kids from his wife, and now he's got a child with this. So all kinds of stuff going on.
It must be a political thing, because that's the whole Arnold thing now, too, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's
a mess.
Politics is tough. Yeah.
Now there's a divorce. Now there's a prenup. They're saying she could get $100
million. Wow.
Right?
That's a lot of dough.
Yeah, it is.
That's a lot of dough.
There's a prenup in there. Come on.
Oh, yeah,
she
should
have had a prenup for him.
Yeah, I mean, guess it's probably one of those things you'd have to just guess as to, of course, like with the movie making, I'm thinking that's where a lot of that bread must have come in from his side, because obviously she comes from a wealthy family herself.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking those movies back when he was making them, I mean, he was probably making like, what, 20, 25 million a pop. Is that what they make? Yeah, and plus endorsements
things
and stuff.
Like that, yeah, sure. Yeah. So, oh well.
Yeah, not bad for a pretty good body, you know.
Well, we'll see what happens with both of those guys. Once again, it's the prenup primer. If you'd like to get it, it's free. You just got to call Brendan's office at 508-751-5010. So about 10 minutes left, Brendan.
All right. So I'm just following along with the idea of, prenupping around the picking up where we left off, prenupping around the financial aid issue.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, again, for financial aid, a couple's assets will be looked at together to calculate the expected family contribution. Same thing, and you know, this also applies with respect to the nursing home. A couple's assets will be looked at together. So a lot of times as a couple gets older, we'll always, if one of our clients is getting married as they get on in years, we'll let them know that, you know, just be aware that your assets are now getting pooled and, you know, will be looked at going into the nursing home as your assets together. Mm-hmm. So sometimes people will actually use divorce as a remedy. It's hard to say this and see it, but, you know, if one spouse goes in, they will file a divorce to separate the assets. Maybe not because they want to get divorced, but it's because maybe as a solution to protect the assets from being spent down.
Mm-hmm.
So that oftentimes will jump into the arena. Just jumping back a little bit on parents who have concerns, and a lot of times parents will push the prenup issue on their children. One thing we'll often say is, well, that's fine and good. You can push that as much as you want, but if they don't sign it, you know, that's an issue. But also, if they do sign it, prenups can have certain life expectancies. You know, if you're really serious about protecting your assets, parent, then maybe relying on a prenup is not the thing to do, because, you know, if you're married 15, 20, 25 years, they have a life expectancy, and they, you know, after a while, it's gonna, you know, not be taken as serious,
yeah,
you know, as a 2-year prenup if you were in the marriage 2 years. So we'll oftentimes recommend that clients in that situation would have those concerns to set up their own trusts for the benefit of their children. In other words, instead of just leaving things to your two kids, leave things in trust for their benefit. Okay, because if you leave something in trust, and it's a discretionary type of trust where the child doesn't really have any property right or any ability to go get those assets, then what a judge can do, at least in this state, a judge can maybe look at the assets and say, well, husband has this from his family. I'm going to divide the marital assets up a little bit lopsidedly because he kind of has that. Mm-hmm. They can't go get that. Which is nice because, you know, if your kids don't have that much and they're getting divorced, so be it, but they can't go in and take what's in the trust, okay? Mm-hmm. As opposed to a trust that is basically under the control of the child, it certainly can go in and make that sort of division, as any creditor could themselves.
Right.
What we'll also times recommend to them too, we'll recommend a discretionary type trust, but we'll probably also recommend some sort of trust for their retirement plans to make sure that if they were planning on leaving the children as beneficiaries of their retirement plans, that we put that in trust as well. You know, there are see-through trusts. We've talked about this in previous shows where we can have a child life expectancy be used, but yet accumulate the asset inside a discretionary type third-party trust. Those work really well. And, of course, then the kids themselves can go ahead and do the prenup. It's almost like asset protection is like, well, let's put a few layers on here. Let's just not rely on any one thing. I think it's a good idea, you know, to get the prenup or even these days, you know, possibly, a postnup, which have been recognized, but prenup, but certainly have those trusts and because you can't always control what the kids are going to do. In other words, I really want this to stay in the bloodline. You may not love your daughter-in-law as much as your son does. So the son may very well just have his own plan that says, hey, I'm going to leave everything to her. So if he dies a year into the marriage and then you die or you die just before him, everything can just go right out to her. So you can have this sudden collapsing of estate plans and have assets inside a year end up in daughter-in-law's name who you don't really even know and may not even like.
Imagine.
So, again, that's really where planning is important, prenup or not, because prenup, remember, just deals with the dissolution of marriage. Doesn't necessarily deal with what happens on death. Mm-hmm. Because you can leave more than the prenup suggests. In other words, people will oftentimes sign a prenup and then in their will to say, hey, we leave everything to each other. Because they're counting on the prenup to save them in the divorce. Mm-hmm. But if there's no divorce and there's a death, well, I'm going to leave her everything because she was with me, or I'm going to leave him everything because he was with me. So that's always something to remind our clients is don't just necessarily rely on that. Rely on your own, what you can control. What you can control is your own estate plan and leaving things in trust for the benefit of children.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So that actually, will then kind of take us back around to another issue, which came up today, comes up almost, at least every couple of days, because most of our clients have businesses.
That's right.
And what the issue there becomes is, hey, my brother and I are in business together. If he gets a divorce, his share of the stock is an asset. Is that going to become part of the marital estate? Is he going to, end up, what's the judge going to do with it? Now, I like to think that most judges will allow in the asset division the corporation, if it's two brothers or two sisters, let them keep it because they're running it and any money they're getting is going to be subject to maybe an alimony payment, or it makes good economic sense, but there's no guarantee on that.
Mm-hmm.
So what we always recommend is, if you have a corporation especially, is to have some sort of buy-sell agreement. So if that sort of thing does happen, the buy-sell agreement can talk about what we call in our buy-sell agreements involuntary transfers. In other words, that if two brothers are married and one of them gets a divorce and that those shares of stock go into the divorce, that the other brother has the option to buy those shares out so he does now have to be a co-shareholder with ex-spouse.
Oh, wow.
Okay?
<Yeah. laughs>
So those types of things and getting contracts like that and looking at, business and your own estate plan and all the aspects of it become real important. And talking about difficult situations and bringing these things up. And oftentimes people think, well, this might be hard, or an advisor might think this might be hard to talk about. But a lot of times they'll say, "I'm glad you asked me that because I can't stand her," you know, or "I can't stand him. I just don't trust him. I don't want, you know, that to come down the pike." So what can we do to minimize that event from happening? And that's really what we're trying to do. You know, no plan is probably 100% perfect. You know, they're all going to possibly have some holes because you're trying to cover a lot of different things, and you might have to give up something to get something else. May not be exactly what you want, but again, what we're trying to do is get it as close to fine as possible. Mm-hmm. And that's really what we're trying to do when we're doing that intake and we're asking those questions. So with respect to that, you know, the business, the buy-sell agreement, a question we'll often always get is, well, can I just, if we get one spouse to come in to see us, usually two spouses will come in, but if there's maybe trouble brewing, or maybe one spouse suspects something, spouses can obviously do their estate plan independently. We'll always get the question, not always, we'll sometimes get the question of, hey, can I just leave my ex-spouse out? Hmm. What if I just, like, you know, not leave him anything? Mm-hmm. You know, and if I'm representing the wife in this situation, you know, nothing. I just don't want to leave him anything. I just want to leave everything to my kids. Well, if you don't have a prenup, and there's no, you know, a spouse will have something called a foreshare, an elective share. Believe it or not, you can actually leave your children out, but you can't leave your spouse out unless you contract that away. Mm-hmm. Okay, so spouses have what we call an elective share or a foreshare. And depending on whether they have children or parents or, you know, whatever, that is going to dictate how much that foreshare is, mm-hmm. okay? But you can elect against what someone has set up. So if I set something up with my wife where I leave her out, she can elect against, because we don't have a prenup, she can elect against what I've done and take part of that estate, whether I like it or not, whether my estate likes it or not. Mm-hmm. Now, that force or elective share actually increases and gets bigger under this new Massachusetts Uniform Probate Code I talked about that's coming down the pike. Mm-hmm. Right now it's a certain amount, but it's going to be a lot bigger come January.
Okay, good
to
know.
A lot more to talk about, but I think we want to get back to tickets and the primer and maybe wrapping some of this stuff up. What do you think?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's talk about the prenup primer again, because this is a free guide on prenup. Every question you wanted answered, Brennan will send it to you, and your spouse won't know.
That's right.
Right?
Very discreetly.
The number is 508-751-5010. Okay, write it down. 508-751-5010. You got a newsletter, too?
That's right.
That's free.
Yep.
Always something free coming out of the estate preservation law offices. And this show, The Impact of Divorce on Estate Planning, when you call, you just ask for that prenup primer. So,
that's right.
Hey.
Also giving away... four tickets?
Yep, we still have four tickets. We've got some extras we're going to pass out. If you want to call at 888-205-2263. And that's about it. I guess that'll do it for this week's show.
Great.
Yeah, this will do it. So, Brendan, hopefully when you come back next Wednesday, it'll be sunny and warm again.
I think it will be. That's my bet.
Oh. All right. We'll see you then. We'll see you next Wednesday. And signing off, see you tomorrow morning for the morning show, of course. This is the Money Matters Radio Network.